question. I would like to give two answers to it. I hope it's understandable. When I was in a previous church, the thing that people liked most was the children's talk, because everybody could understand it. And I hope I can follow in that vein on quite a complex question. I want to give two answers. A general one, is God there? But it leads to the personal one. Can you and I, as grown-up men or women, or as small boys and girls, actually meet God? What I want you to do is to come with me into a cave. So can you look out for that first illustration, Louise, and pin that up on the screen? Good. Imagine you're a cave dweller. It's dark, but you're used to it. Your family's lived here for generations. And because the cave is dark, you have never understood what light really is, nor experienced what light does. This picture's got a light in it, but in your world, there isn't this light. Imagine you've never enjoyed sunlight or moonlight. You know nothing about the rhythm of night and day. You've never seen the stars shine at night and use them for direction. You have no idea what the color yellow is and what are trees, which rely on light to help them grow, and birds, which live in the trees, or even grass and the sheep sustained by the grass. I've got a question to put to you. How might you, as this cave dweller, get to know about light? I've got four suggestions, but I just wondered if perhaps we can come back off the illustration and see if the children have any suggestions, or the young people. Anyone waving a hand? How might you, as this cave dweller, get to know about light?
You can know by stories.
Very good.
Imagination and dreams.
Yep. Okay, well, we'll start with that one. I imagine that if you lived in this cave, light might be something your grandmother tells you about in her stories before you go to sleep. Can we have the illustration, Louise? Next one. Here's grandmother. She tells you these stories about your ancestors who once upon a time lived in a very different place where there was light. It's a story passed down generation by generation, so it's not forgotten. And you are learning the story by heart to pass on to your own grandchildren one day. Could I have the next one? Next slide. Then I could point out some clues in the walls of your cave. There is one place, like in this picture, which is a little bit brighter than any other, and no one knows why. But here you can see the cave has beauty. Here in the walls of the cave are strange variations, shapes, and hints of color you don't normally see, and everyone asks why. Here is another message about light. It's about what it can do, and it's written into the walls of your world. Then you have a strange wish inside your heart. When your grandmother tells you her stories, you want to know more about the light your ancestors knew. It intrigues you, tugs at you. You're asking, where is this light? How do I find it? And you don't know why, but you imagine light in your dreams at night. So you see, there are ways both outside you and things inside you which point to the existence of light. But would it not be amazing if someone came from the world of light deep into the cave to tell you about light? Would you believe what the person told you and go on an adventure out of the cave with this person to discover the light? Perhaps we can come off the illustrations. I think it's like this with God, and I hope you will see the parallels. You may not see God face to face, But like grandmother's stories of light, we have a story about God passed down the generations, and we call it the Bible, about how ancient people knew God, just like the cave's ancestors once knew light. Early on, these stories too were learned by heart and passed on by word of mouth, because writing had not yet been invented. It's easier for us today because we can read the stories and no one has to learn them by heart anymore. And like clues to the existence of light in the walls of the cave, we have clues around us from what we see in nature. We see stars and planets in the sky in so vast a space we cannot comprehend how vast it is. We wonder how they were made. We enjoy oceans, skies, mountains, and flowers in so much variety. Who can make things so complex, bursting with life? Around us is what others have described as a deafening silence. Nature doesn't speak any words, but it shouts to us about the power of a creator God. And then there is also what we do find inside us, in our hearts. Why is it when your brother gets a bigger slice of apple than you, does it feel unfair? Something of the justice and fairness of God is written into our lives. We don't learn it. We're not taught it. We're born with it. And of course, we know someone has come all the way from outside our world. Sorry, my screen's gone. There we are. Someone has come from outside our world to tell us about God. And you know his name, Jesus. Can we have the next slide? I don't know whether you remember the football team of boys which got caught and trapped in a cave in Thailand. This was 2 or 3 years ago. No expense was spared to rescue them. You can see the big operation that's going on here to try and help them. And like these rescuers who came for those children to take them back to the world of light, so Jesus has come into our metaphorical cave to show us the way out, and it cost. For the boys in Thailand, two of the rescuers died. One drowned while he was swimming through the water to get to them, and another one died from an infection he caught in the cave. And we know Jesus got killed when he came to tell us about God. So those are some ideas about how God is real generally, but we cannot leave it there. Can you and I actually bump into God, meet him face to face, talk to him and enjoy him? Is he real in this sense? Should we come off the slides for a minute? Thank you. I expect if you asked everyone in the network church, everyone whose face is shining brightly on this screen, and ask them the same question, is Jesus God real and alive? They would say the same thing. Yes, yes, Jesus alive? Yep, yeah, everyone's agreeing. If I was the only person who ever bumped into God and said I had, and I was the only person, you would might say I would be dreaming, or I was mad or misled. But like the screen we've just put our thumbs up to, there are millions of people, and it doesn't matter where you live, how old you are, whether you live this year or 3,000 years ago, will say God is real. But I can only really tell you God is real my own way, because God becomes real to people in different ways which suit them best. Can we have the next picture? This is a famous picture by an artist called Holman Hunt. He was inspired to paint it by the verse in the Bible, Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and I will eat with him. There are three painted versions. The first was given to a college in Oxford, Keble College, and they charged a fee for people to view it. I'm sure if it had been given to a Cambridge college, it would have been free to view. So to make it more available, a later version was painted by Holman Hunt, and it hangs in St. Paul's Cathedral in London. Let's just look at this picture for a minute. Who is the figure in the picture and how do we know? Well, we know it's a king because he's wearing a crown, but it identifies Jesus because if you look closely, it's a crown of thorns. And what is he wearing? It looks to me like a priestly kind of robe. So we have a king and a priest, and that's how we know this person is Jesus. The picture is called the light of the world, and there are a lot of references to light. There's the halo around his head. There's the lantern showing up the path ahead. And you can see that dawn is breaking in the sky behind. And if you look even more closely, you'll see a star. That's the morning star, and it's a reference to Jesus's birth. But what is Jesus doing? And what is his position? He's come to visit. He's knocking at a door, but he's not facing the door. Why, I wonder, is he not facing the door? Is he expecting no reply? And if we go down to the bottom, you'll see his feet are facing away from the door. They're facing forward, as though he's set to move on to the next house and not there. Does he look melancholic? Does he look sad? Or does he look happy? I'll have to leave you to answer that question. And what do you notice about the door? Well, there are weeds growing in front of it. It's never been opened, it seems, in a very, very long time. And if you look at the state of the plants, it looks to me like it's autumn, a sense that life has been lived a long time and there's not long to go to winter. And the other thing to notice about the door is there's no handle on it. Now, Holman Hunt meant the door to represent our hearts. They are pretty lifeless, like this unopened door. But at some point, Jesus will pay us a visit. What arrested me when the speaker describing the painting said the handle is on the inside of the door, I realized it was only I who could unlock the padlock, pull the bolt, and lift the handle, like the door in the next picture. So there's the door. Who has to lift the handle, undo the padlock? It's on the inside. Jesus would not force his way in. Jesus was knocking, and I invited Jesus to come into my heart, and he entered, and he's stayed ever since. So in this way, I know Jesus is real. I don't just know about him. He is my friend who sits and can enjoy dinner with me. Thank you, Louise. Let's go back to the screen. So I cannot point out a physical person and say, there is God, but God has taken many steps towards me and you. We have his story, we have his creation, we have an understanding of who he is through our hearts and in our consciences, and Jesus has come in person. But God doesn't do everything. He needs us then to take a step towards him, and we need to open the door. Then we will find out he is real. Thank you.
That was really good. I love that. It was like it reminded me of how Jesus would speak in parables, with using those pictures to describe what something is like.